Fox Sports salutes Veterans Day. Whitlock and Wiley, Tony Gonzalez and LeVar Arrington are back. Time now for a big story presented by Hyundai. Let's move to Lamar Jackson.
Woo.
Put on a show yesterday in Cincinnati, throwing for a perfect passer rating and ripping one of the best touchdown runs of the season in a 49-13 blowout of the Bengals. According to Fox Bet, Lamar is now the favorite to win the MVP, surpassing Russell Wilson. Both guys are having excellent seasons, leading their teams to 7-2 records, with Wilson outthrowing Lamar, while the Ravens quarterback clearly has the advantage running the football. All right, the question here, has Lamar Jackson passed Russell Wilson in the MVP race?
No, he hasn't passed him. He was already ahead of him. What you pass him? He been in front of him. I'm trying to tell you. Look, I don't want to go down the road of numbers because I think that that's what undermines Russell Wilson's argument more so than heightens it. Think about it. You're not going to surpass what we saw last year in terms of numbers. 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards when you talk about Patrick Mahomes and MVP. But Russell Wilson's going to have a very efficient year, kind of more of an Aaron Rodgers as last year. Aaron Rodgers, 29 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and because the team wasn't good, no consideration for the MVP. And Russell's going to fall somewhere conveniently between that. But then there are signature moments. If this was college, a Heisman moment, MVP moments. And you talk about having a perfect game yesterday. Oh, that's not his only perfect game this year. I mean, the guy's been perfect more than once. And he gave us a moment that his coach has even went on record and said we'll be talking about for decades. When you give the numbers that he's going to put up, which is going to be in the neighborhood of a Russell Wilson, but what's not going to be in the neighborhood for Russell Wilson is those signature moments that Lamar Jackson continues.
You know there's a game tonight. You know there's a signature
game. Oh, yeah. But up to this moment, what do you got for Russell Wilson? What do you got? A comeback at home against Tampa Bay? What about a loss to Lamar Jackson? What about Lamar Jackson beating the Patriots and the Seahawks? The point is there's just going to be enough casual conversation moments for him to win the Heisman. It is Lamar Jackson's to lose.
Yeah, I'm piggybacking off of Marcellus here. I think Lamar Jackson has the Lamar Jackson factor on his side now. And a lot of times that's the biggest element that you need in order to get. Yeah, well,
it's still within the results.
He had an amazing game against the Patriots. And as you mentioned, he did have an amazing game head to head with those Seahawks, with Russell Wilson's team. Again, I think it's still, whether it's the Bengals or not, it's the Lamar Jackson factor.
Exactly.
You see what he's capable of doing. You see the numbers. As long as the numbers are comparable, you're going to look at the sensationalizing of the plays he makes.
Well, he didn't play yet. Russell Wilson's got a big game today.
That's on him.
in the stock market of the NFL, you're hot one week, you're not next week. I mean, after last week's performance, Russell Wilson, what, he had 5 touchdowns last week?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Last week, you're like, oh, he's got the MVP.
Tampa Bay.
It is. We'll see.
He threw Cincy out there. One
played the Patriots and one played Tampa Bay. We over here talking about.
Well, he played against the Bengals yesterday. I'm not overly impressed by you beating the Bengals like this.
You know how many other quarterbacks have a perfect passer rating against Bengals? Exactly. Nobody. You know why? Because if everybody could do it, it'd be easy. But it's not easy. Lamar Jackson did it, and he knows it.
This kid is special, and he's very, very fun to watch. And I would not be surprised if he wins the MVP.
He gets your vote, Hall of Famer?
Do I have a vote? Do I get a vote now?
If you had one, well, who would you vote for?
As of right now, this moment, I'm probably still going to go with Russell. I got to see what happens tonight. If he beats the San Francisco 49ers, is he back in that MVP? Okay.
It depends on how he performs.
Yes, exactly.
Look, even if they win.
I want to be crystal clear on this because people think I have a problem with Lamar Jackson. That yesterday, you can't play quarterback any better than he did. You cannot. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. That was the perfect game. Now, again, it was against the Bengals, and so you knock it down a slight, but you can't do it any better. There were throws he made into tight windows that just blew my mind. He can do that? That was incredible. Of course, the running, he looked like he was back at Louisville playing against college kids with the run against the Bengals. You can't play quarterback better than he did yesterday. Having said that, it is the Dow Jones, and the market's going to adjust. And there's going to be an adjustment tonight. Mm. Russell Wilson has an opportunity to put on his show. Mm. Next Sunday, or 6 days from now, we're going to see the real showdown. Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson, the Texans versus the Baltimore Ravens. That Stock market's going to adjust after that because Deshaun Watson's right in the middle of this MVP race. Russell Wilson is. Lamar Jackson has now, to me, elevated himself right into the thick of it. I still have, going into tonight, Russell Wilson ahead of Lamar Jackson. We'll see what happens. If Russell Wilson doesn't get it done, and I'm not that optimistic they get it done against this San Francisco defense, then yes, I'll put Lamar Jackson tied with Deshaun Watson at the top of my MVP list, and we're going to see a showdown against the Texans. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, that's going to be incredible. He's going to face more resistance against the Texans. If he does it against the Texans in the same building, same day as Deshaun Watson, then I think it moves to where, like, okay, this kid's in the league.
Credible response, but I challenge it, and I challenge you too, Hall of Famer, to really question your variables of measurement. And I think what happens in traditional measurements is we get lazy. We just say, oh, conventional quarterback. Let's look at the proper categories, major statistical categories. But there's a video game effect that is happening right now. That is, I can't use the comparison of the collegiate ranks because there's a huge disparity between talent and team when you say, it looks like he's doing what he's doing against Louisville opponents. This is the NFL. Even the lowliest of teams. We thought Miami. It's a collection of all-stars. Miami, 2 weeks ago, we were like, who are they? Oh, Miami, all right now. Cincinnati, they are the lowliest of low. We get it. But it's still an NFL team. And he is making grown men all pros look bad.
The Bengals are one of the worst NFL teams of all time. They made a mistake dumping Marvin Lewis. They had to do it. I get it. But now they're starting to figure out the difference between Marvin Lewis and some of these other guys you run in there trying to fix the Bengals organization. What Marvin Lewis did was amazing. Listen, first of all, none of the leaders in the MVP race can be labeled conventional quarterbacks. None of them. Russell Wilson's 5'10" and runs around. Deshaun Watson is almost capable of doing everything running-wise as Lamar chooses not to.
There's a reason you made that choice. Because God made it for you first. God made the choice
first. He's been injured.
You know how he got injured?
Almost
trying
close.
To be Lamar Jackson.
I get it.
And you're not going to be Lamar Jackson.
Not almost close.
This is different. Go ahead, Lamar.
Oh, my God.
This is not close. Don't do that.
Not almost close.
Don't do that.
No. Deshaun is an elusive runner, and he's a fine runner. But that's – Lamar is on a different – like, that's a different level. It's not even – like, I don't have a big point to make other than that's just not accurate.
I think as a defensive player, linebacker, who would you rather go against? I mean, Deshaun Jackson or Lamar?
Much rather go against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Much rather. Because I might not catch him. Uh-huh. I could catch Deshaun Watson. In my day plan, I could catch him. I don't know that I could catch him.
And don't forget, Deshaun Watson's been the most sacked quarterback since he's been in the league.
So, that's a bad offensive line.
Oh, no, I'm not. It all is part of the consideration. I'm just saying, give him a bad offensive line, you're going to see even more Lamar Jackson.
You still might not catch him.
Lamar Jackson... The spin that he – oh, my God. The counterclockwise spin is something that we all take notice of if you ever play defense because it goes against conventional thought. Like, your muscle memory is he going to spin that way. But then you're like, he can't spin that way. LaDainian Tomlinson did that same spin – I don't know why I'm going off record. The first play ever as a NFL player in practice. Junior Seau, Rodney Harris, myself sitting there watching his first carry ever as a pro, and he did a counterclockwise spin. And we're like, that's not normal. In full stride?
And that's the best way of explaining it.
In full stride?
I was on the field with Sean Taylor, man, and let me tell you something. The things that you see people like that do with their gift, it's not, you can't compare it.
Hey.
It's hard to compare.
I get it.
That's a hard one to compare.
But we're trying to say, what Lamar did yesterday was perfection.
Again.
But y'all are doing a disservice to Deshaun Watson if you don't think he's equal in talent. And again.
Hold on.
Equal, he's a better passer.
Running?
No, he's a better passer. Lamar's a better runner, but there is equality among these two.
I was not arguing total talent as a quarterback. Yeah. I heard
you
say he can run. But he runs almost the same as Lamar Jackson.
I believe that not for the injury.
You can't get caught up just in the athleticism.
Yeah.
Okay? You still got to have the other tangibles that make you a good quarterback, when to slide, when to get out of bounds, when to throw the ball away, all that other stuff that I think Russell Wilson is better at than Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely.
I think that – but – Vince Carter, the dunker, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he's a great dunker, great football player, but I'm not taking him over Kobe.
Basketball.
I mean, you can look at him and go, just because he's doing all this 360 stuff doesn't mean
you would have took Vince Carter coming out of college over Kobe Bryant.
No, you wouldn't have.
I would have.
We're all entitled to opinions here.
I'm just looking at these goalposts.
And you have CTE, and we're going to move on.
Oh! These goalposts are moving.
How are they moving so far?
Fox Sports is proud to partner with The Mission Continues, a nonprofit organization deploying military veterans and community leaders to build stronger communities across the nation. Visit www.missioncontinues.org to learn more. LeVar and Buckley are back. Let's move to Kansas City, where the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes back Sunday, but still managed to blow a lead to the Titans at home. Falling to 6-4 on the year, Andy Reid's squad has now lost four of their last six and are just a half game ahead of the Raiders in the AFC West. And their defense has clearly been the weak link, ranked near the bottom of the league in rush defense, total defense, red zone percentage, and penalties. You guys losing any confidence in Andy Reid and the Chiefs?
I am. And you nailed it talking about the middle of their defense, especially how porous it is. And we saw it in the rush defense as well. That seesaw effect, sometimes you see it with teams where, oh, we have this offense and the defense for some collective reason doesn't show up. And as great as Patrick Mahomes is, they are the opposite. And they continue to be the opposite. And it's going to be the Achilles heel for this team because you can't just go out there and outscore all your opponents. And that's going to come back to haunt them.
I think it's tough for Andy Reid because he has all these weapons. I was talking to an NFL defense coordinator. He said they may have too many weapons. They have so many guys that the way that you want to play with these weapons is you want to play fast so you have more plays, more touches for their guys. The problem is when you play that up-tempo style, you now have to put your defense out there for more plays. And we've seen that their defense can't stop running games. So Andy Reid has to make a decision. Do I put a throttle on Patrick Mahomes to spare my defense from the exposure that will ultimately lead us to lose? I just think it's hard for an offensive guy to say, I'm going to choke down my offense because it's in my defense best interest to not be on the field.
And that's a great reason to lose confidence in this team. I also tend to look at it from, historically speaking, Andy Reid has so much success during the regular season. We've never questioned how, or at least strongly questioned, Andy Reid's leadership and accomplishments in the regular season. It's always in the postseason where he gets into trouble. He struggles to get to the Super Bowl, made the Super Bowl, doesn't win the Super Bowl. So to start struggling on this stretch the way that they are, lends me to look at it from a concerning eye because he generally has more dominant performance coaching during the regular season.
The two games that they played without Patrick Mahomes, the defense actually elevated and played well.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happened is just a small thing that I pay attention to. When Matt Moore was out there at quarterback, when Matt Moore would come off, I never saw the camera pan to Andy Reid sitting on the bench next to Matt Moore. When the defense was on the field, the times I saw it, Andy Reid was on the sidelines watching his defense. But as soon as Pat Mahomes comes back, I start seeing the video of Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid sitting on the bench, the defense out there playing like garbage. The accountability for the defense isn't there because the head coach, when Patrick Mahomes is around, all he cares about is Patrick Mahomes. He don't take care of his side pieces, the defense, the way that he should. He spends all the time with his main.
And that's why in the streets.
What does that represent in that moment? Because I'd like to understand that because generally speaking, defensive guys don't have much interaction with the head coach.
Great point.
And so I don't Bill Belichick feel it. Has very little interaction with
the defense. Well, he's a defensive coach, but I'm saying if you're on a team where you knowingly have an offensive-minded coach, you generally don't have interaction with
There's
that coach.
There's an accountability. Yeah. The head coach, to me, on it, again, I obviously didn't play at the NFL level. The head coach carries a different weight than any coordinator, any assistant. I used to hate when the head coach showed up, the energy would go down, oh, daddy's here, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm assuming the same thing happens in football.
Is that representation with the coaches? Maybe it's representation with the coaching staff more so than the players.
It's interesting.
If that accountability from Reed isn't there to watch what they're doing.
Right. The accountability is between the coaching ranks, not so much on the field. Because on the field, one, it doesn't affect our climate. We're just trying to get the call. Most of the time, I'm interacting with my linebacker more than anybody. Yes. And then he's interacting with the coordinator. Coordinator's interacting with the head coach. And maybe that weight comes downhill. We don't feel that until we get into the meetings the next day and hear it. But that's an interesting point.
I think you got a good point. The point is, Pat Mahomes is such a talent that when Andy Reid has him, he can't just stop thinking about different ways that we can open up this offense. And so when you're an offensive-minded coach, all you think, man, I got this guy who is like Brett Favre. Man, let's figure out how we can score more points. And sometimes he does it to the detriment of the team. We always hear in the playoffs, because you brought up a good point about it, we don't hear about his playoff success. In the playoffs, you have to play complementary football, meaning that as a coach on offense, how can I call the game offensively to support my defense? Does that mean I need to run the ball more? Does that mean we need to slow it down and score in late stretches? I'm going to say this, and I think this is the biggest thing that's really wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs, and no one has really talked about this. They miss Kareem Hunt. This team has been different since Kareem Hunt was removed from the roster. Say what you want about Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt was a leading rusher, and when they had him, they could salt away games so the defense didn't have to go out there. I know there was a time where we were excited about, hey, the back by committee, their guys are doing it. They don't have the same kind of running game.
Joined again by Rick Bucher and LeVar Arrington. Time now for the most fearless discussion of the day. All right, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has organized a special workout for former NFL quarterback turned silent Twitter activist Colin Kaepernick. Schefter said today that Goodell arranged the workout this Saturday in Atlanta because Goodell feels bad about how things have turned out for Kaepernick, who has remained unemployed the past three seasons after being radicalized by his girlfriend Nessa and staging a national anthem protest. Kaepernick and his team of exploiters slash lawyers sued the NFL for collusion and then settled out of court for a small sum of money. He has maintained relevancy via social media by switching between cornrows and an afro, objecting to the Betsy Ross flag, wearing a wide assortment of dashikis, and retweeting famous quotes. My point is, I understand why Roger Goodell feels sorry for Colin Kaepernick. Cap has been used and abused by forces Cap doesn't fully understand. People took advantage of his justifiable identity crisis and defined his identity as a black man by his willingness to torch his football career in a pointless publicity stunt. Oh, I get it. Cap is a victim, but not of the NFL. He eats dinner and socializes with his true enemies every day. But I would caution the commissioner with the words I tell all young people: pity don't pay no bills. What I mean by that is pity is a fool's currency. It has virtually no tangible value. It serves the giver's conscience far more than it does the receiver's future empowerment or opportunity. I think Goodell is aware of this. I believe that's why the workout is scheduled for this Saturday rather than next Tuesday or the following Saturday. Kaepernick and his supporters are upset Goodell did not arrange the workout at a time when it would be more convenient for top-level scouts and executives to attend. Goodell is already bending over here. What's he arranged? He's already arranged an unprecedented workout for Kaepernick. Is he going to schedule a workout for Dez Bryant? Dez tore his Achilles. He's out of work and looking for his next NFL opportunity. Is Dez unworthy of empathy? No. Goodell and football people want to see how bad Cap wants back in the NFL. That's important. The NFL doesn't need Colin Kaepernick. It doesn't need Antonio Brown. It doesn't need any of these guys who believe they're bigger than the game. Can Cap get through this workout without painting himself as a victim? He's off to a bad start. His tweet last night indicates a level of delusion that's scary. He said he's looking forward to seeing head coaches and general managers at the workout. Cap thinks he's Tua Tagovailoa or Chase Young, the hottest prospects on the market. Cap should be happy if a half dozen teams send an area scout and a stopwatch. Mm. All right, guys. Marcellus?
Yeah.
Is this workout a good idea?
Not for Colin Kaepernick. For the NFL, yes. And I preface this by saying my grandma used to always tell me, baby, you can't make sense out of nonsense, but I'm going to try.
like you said, unprecedented. Never seen this before. An active player getting the opportunity. And this opportunity seems forced. This opportunity seems like it's coming from the NFL. And I know there are reports out there that this is not a part of the NDA, part of the settlement, but I would disagree with that. I think this is what an NDA looks like. Okay, we have our understandings that we're going to give you another opportunity to at least audition for everyone else, even if it's not a real chance. So Colin Kaepernick is, within a week of a workout, is told, be here. This is where your workout is. Colin Kaepernick is not mutually agreed upon these terms, but why isn't Colin Kaepernick tapping out of those terms or tapping out of this workout? Because he can't. So now he's going to show up within 5 days of a workout, put on his best performance, without even knowing who will be in attendance. Wanted to change the date. Nope, not going on another Saturday. Wanted to change the date. Nope, we're not going on a Tuesday when you can ensure a greater participation and attendance. To me, these are the fine print examples of what an NDA looks like, and this is part of that settlement.
Non-disclosure agreement. Go ahead.
Yes.
I don't see how this serves anybody's purpose. For me, the Colin Kaepernick controversy had died down and was in the rearview mirror. Mm. This only brings it all back. And to suggest that it proves that the NFL has always had its door open to Colin Kaepernick, that certainly doesn't do it for me either. Right. It's been 3 years. And we're talking about this workout not being for now, but being for next season. So we're really talking 4 years now. So all you do is bring this back. Look, I was down with the cause and where this started, what Kaepernick's protest and what he was trying to bring attention to. I was down with that. The carrying out of that message is where he lost me because there was no messaging. I just did a podcast with Derrick Rose, and we talked about the fact that he allowed other people to tell his narrative. He was the first one to wear the I Can't Breathe t-shirt.
Derrick Rose
was the first one. A week later, LeBron goes to New York, plays Brooklyn. He wears the t-shirt. Now, this is post Derrick Rose knee injuries. This is LeBron going back to Cleveland and being the hometown hero. Mm. Derrick, when he wore the t-shirt, didn't talk to the media. Did it a couple days later. Didn't at the time. So now other people took the narrative. That's what Colin Kaepernick has allowed to have happen. And what I see is that continuing now, because he's no more in charge of what's going on than he was at the very beginning of this.
He's not capable of being in charge.
It's bad for Cap. Really bad. Super bad. All-time bad. Bad, bad, bad. Michael Jackson bad. And the reality for me is that for something that you gave your career away for, you gave it to the people. Let's for a better way of stating it, you gave your career away for the people. You wanted people to understand what social injustice represents. You're using your platform, and now you don't have it. The fact that you are trying so hard and so desperately to get back to the place of where you condemned and protested and messaged what you wanted to become, what you've become, I think it exposes a light on the fact that this is not about social injustice for Colin Kaepernick. It's about Colin Kaepernick. So it's a bad idea. If you ride out into the sunset being who you are, I did this, I took the knee, I'm not in the league because of it, everybody knows it. Keep getting your work. I hate this whole narrative of he's out of work. It's a shame he's out of work. No, he doesn't work for the NFL. Hmm. The same employer that you chose to do your protesting. I find it to be very damning to him, and I don't like it in the sense that it exposes him for being selfish versus being someone who's for the community.
I like Rick's point of I'm not sure if this is good for the NFL. I think a lot of people think, you know, this is going to work out good and makes the NFL look good. I think it just drags this whole conversation back to the forefront. And to me, they're having it on Saturday. All this woke media is going to cover it like it's the Olympic Games. There'll be more media than coaches and interested football people. And they're doing it at the same time. Like, Man, my whole weekend is built around Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. Guys, I can't wait to see play football. Not some guy that hasn't played for several years. I just don't get this. The NFL just had one of its best weekends ever in terms of excitement, games, and blah, blah, blah. And now here we go again with Colin Kaepernick. Bad play by the NFL.
Great play by the NFL. Let's trust in this, $18 billion economy that they created, that there is a method to their madness in all respects. And I'm going to tell you what it is. Colin Kaepernick has stayed relevant in martyrdom. And in martyrdom, it's activated in death or silence.
So bring him back to life.
So let's bring him back to life and let him kill himself.
Kill himself.
Show that video. We taping this. Show this video. We taping this. Every team going to get to see it.
Come on.
Taping the interview as well.
Come on.
We want to hear it because you know what happened? When your lawyer comes out a couple months ago and says, you know what? I want to clear the air of all the misconceptions, which I know he was talking to me because everybody else been saying stuff for years. Nobody else got a lawyer or agent to talk. And then all of a sudden, boom, right after I say it, okay. So let's talk. Let's volley. You want to clear the air. So the NFL says, oh, you think that our discussions aren't private. You want to clear misconceptions. So what now the NFL will do is say, Colin Kaepernick, here's your chance. Are you ready for that opportunity? Are you thriving in this moment? And it's on Cap. I'm not saying that he's going to fail. I'm saying that the NFL is going to get rid of what has been carrying his platform for this many years, which is martyrdom. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get to substance. We're going to get to production. We're going to get from imagination to reality and let the world
speak. The genius of it, is that it's the NFL. It's Roger Goodell. Roger put himself out there. I want to see this happen. I don't like the way it ended, da-da-da, blah-blah-blah. It's the NFL. So if the NFL is facilitating this, that doesn't mean the NFL doesn't facilitate to each and every one of those franchises Mm-mm. and to those owners and to them GMs Mm-mm. and say, you have to hire him because the NFL sanctioned this workout. It's genius.
To the point
it's genius.
Don't think that Roger Goodell woke up yesterday with a different moral compass.
No.
Like, just look, I love me some Roger Goodell. I love the opportunity for Colin Kaepernick, and I wish everybody who wants to achieve their dreams good luck. But do not think that the NFL just woke up and said, you know what? Man, he deserves a chance.
Right.
This is calculated, y'all.
Absolutely.
And we're going to see how it plays.
I get that. But I can't erase that it's been 3 years. Just because you're saying, oh, you want a shot now? The odds are against Colin Kaepernick being able to. We go in knowing that the chances of him looking good when he doesn't even know the circumstances are against him.
But that,
you have to know that. So that doesn't erase the fact that for 3 years there have been guys that have been on rosters and that have gotten an opportunity to try out. Whatever the case may be, it's been 3 years he hasn't played. This doesn't erase that. What I really don't understand is why Colin at this point is taking part in this.
Because he signed on to this. I've signed a few NDAs.
Signed on to what? I don't know what he signed up for.
In part, this is my opinion-based information. When we're signing this settlement, one of the things I want in this, on top of monetary compensation, is an opportunity. And Roger Goodell says, you know what? Within a calendar year or season, you will get your opportunity. And here's your audition.
The other thing is, Colin Kaepernick, surrounded by his enemies that he thinks are his best friend, he can't see himself doing anything else but playing football.
Which because is trust, so strange.
It's strange. It's wrong. Because trust me, if I'm denied work here for 3 weeks, I'm going to find something else to do. Because that's
exactly
in my moral fiber. That's what my parents demanded. That's what my whole life is built around. You're not going to deny me work. I'm going to go out and create it myself if I have to. Again, my father started his own business because he didn't
tell
like
us
the
his
way.
Name.
Jimmy Whitlock.
Jimmy
Whitlock. Because they didn't like the way. If my mother can work and has worked her entire life, a black woman that was born in the 30s, she can. This dude that was born last week, he can't get a damn job? You can't get out of here. I don't feel
the
sorry.
The unemployment part is strange.
It's embarrassing. As a man, I would be offended by
you
that.
You can't use unemployment.
You sitting around on your ass healthy for 3 years,
talk
any
him,
man,
I'm with
you should be in bear.
Tell them how you feel.
Any woman should be in bear. We're going to continue our conversation about Colin Kaepernick, who is scheduled to have a workout to open to all 32 NFL teams this Saturday. Kaepernick has been out of football for 3 years and says he's been working out at 5 a.m., 5 days a week, the whole time. But even before his protest cut his career short, his effectiveness as a quarterback had fallen off quite a bit. All right, LeVar Arrington is back with us, and we're joining us once again for this conversation is T.J. Houshmandzadeh. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Do you think Kaepernick can still help a team?
Oh, absolutely. It's not even a question. The problem is, where does it land to get that result, to get that impact? Because if all reports are true, Colin Kaepernick is now long for a backup job. So if it's just about a starting opportunity or situation, then I don't think a team brings him into the fold in that position, because so much is invested in the starting quarterback and so much is unknown about Colin Kaepernick, the player 3 years removed from the field, and also the person and what is he going to represent when he's a part of an organization. So there's been reports before of Colin Kaepernick saying no to a backup situation. Whatever that is, the truth or the lie of that, the point is, I think he would have to come in a slow drip situation. We bring you in, we monitor you, we see how you're going to be a part of this team in chemistry. Problem is, sounds like Kaepernick doesn't want that opportunity.
Oh, no question he can help a team. His final season, he has 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Now,
how many games did San Francisco win?
It doesn't matter.
One!
Statistically, he was fine. Now,
wonder him.
His eyes are going to have to get adjusted to playing football again. When you're out for 3 full seasons, and where he can really help a team and help himself at the same time is he's running a scout team. And so he's going to help a team from that perspective. And he's going to get himself better in the meantime. And reality sets in. And Cap, he has to come in as a backup. So coming in as a starter is out of the question. Okay. Reality set. I've been out the NFL for 3 years. The NFL has thrived without me. Let's hope they can thrive with me now. Reality will set in. I'll work my way, hopefully, into a starting position.
He can still help a team. Of course he can still help a team in a myriad of different ways.
I should have said, can he help a team win?
Well, but okay, but here's the problem. The problem is, while he can help, the bad or baggage connected to him outweighs the help.
Wow.
He's not going to help. And
really?
Here's why. Well, here's why. If he comes in, there's going to be a tremendous outcry, and it's going to be a ton of confusion until he starts. There's going to always be the narrative because
it depends on what team he goes to.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't really. Because
if he goes to Seattle, it's going to be a cry to start?
Yes, there
come
is.
Oh, man.
It is.
Oh,
because
man.
Of,
come
yes,
on.
It will. Yes, it will. And let me tell you why.
You cannot think you're right.
Let me tell you why. I 100% think I'm right.
All
because
right.
All of the supporters that are connected to Kaepernick are not going to see the logic. They might not even understand football. Their whole thought process is, if it's not doing right by Kaepernick, it's wrong.
Well,
and that's going to be a problem no matter where he goes,
well,
no matter if it's Russell
everywhere.
Wilson.
I don't know about everywhere.
Okay.
You know, yesterday,
right.
Yesterday you made a point about Marcellus.
Yep.
This is the one that did where you needed to go to an Ivy League school so that you would understand this
situation. I went to Penn State. We have a very high graduation rate.
Allegedly.
Even though I dropped out.
I got great tutors. We
nailed it. Oh, see?
Don't do that.
But
don't do that.
Look,
don't you go there.
How about that?
Here's what I think is going on with Kaepernick and perhaps one particular team. Trust me, Kaepernick's at home on his couch watching Lamar Jackson ball out. And just tears just coming out.
Man.
Oh, that should
that
be.
Was
that,
me.
That was me. That was
and
me.
Should be.
All the way to the Super Bowl.
And so I think this whole thing is about Greg Roman's going to get a head coaching job next year.
All right.
And he'll take Kaepernick
Ooh-wee.
As his new quarterback with a chance. If you can play your way into the starting position, you can do that. That's what the long play of this is, and that's why people are talking about next year. Greg Roman's going to get a head coaching job. Kaepernick will be one of his quarterbacks.
Ooh, okay, all I believe you. Here's the thing. Is Greg Roman going to leverage his situation and opportunity with an owner who may be sitting on the other side of that fence?
Because he is going to be on the other side of the fence.
More than likely, if we go by the numbers, more owners going to be on the other side.
He's going to be on
the other side of the fence.
Like, I don't want to deal with the Kaepernick stuff. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's different between saying, I want to help a team win and I'm going to help an organization thrive. So organizations look at it differently than just, I want production and production.
So basically what we're saying is this Saturday, it's more so about the interview than the workout.
No
the
question.
Interview
it's the
is.
They're doing his measurements. We know it's fraud.
No, it's the interview.
The interview.
What TJ's
is
talking
paramount.
About is they want to hear from Cap.
Yeah.
I'm going to play football. I'm going to stand up for the national anthem. I'm going to play football. Get me to Greg Roman as soon as I can.
The workout doesn't matter. Yeah. It's what
I want to do what Greg Roman's doing with Lamar.
There we go.
Lamar Jackson. That's what I'm telling. That's why Kaepernick is again.
You're almost there.
I think
he's
moving.
That's almost right.
I think he's moving.
I'm with you.
I know what it is.
What you said earlier. Killed him, mortared him, right? Let him kill himself.
They won't.
Put yourself out there.
Cap is forced to take this workout because it's not even on his terms. The week of your chance to do
it. Hey. When has anything with the NFL been on a player's terms?
Oh, stop that.
When?
Stop that. You know the combine's coming, don't you? Does it drop
on their terms? They set the date.
Hold on, but you show
you
up.
Wanted to go to Indianapolis. Indianapolis. You wouldn't have rather come to LA.
They put you on an itinerary on their terms.
Yes, and that's what? You know that, not the week of?
But to have him
drop on your head?
You touched on something.
We got
to
go.
Oh, man. To have him come out and say, I'm going to stand for the anthem. I'm going to do this.
Oh, they taping it.
Move on from it. Look here.
Then the owner's going to take it.
No.
Greg Roman's going to come in. It's an exciting offense, and it'll be exciting to watch
Cap. They exonerate themselves.
Fail at trying to be Lamar Jackson.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and LeVar Arrington. Rick Bucher is back with us. Time now for Creating a Legacy, where we're celebrating legacies in the making, sponsored by the new movie, Ford versus Ferrari. Let's move to James Harden, who just dropped 47 in a win over the Clippers and is making an early case for another MVP award, off to a prolific start, even by his own standards. Harden is on a historic scoring pace, averaging what would be the most points per game in the last 50 seasons in some pretty exclusive company, just as he was last year. All right, the question here is James Harden the best player in the NBA? We'll start with you, Rick.
No. And I'm not even sure that he's the best player. Score. He actually was on the floor last night with the best player in the game right now, and that's Kawhi Leonard, who can intimidate and control the game at both ends of the floor. James Harden doesn't come close to those. But we're also, because we're getting so excited about what is historic when it comes to James, if you start to parse the numbers and see how he's getting to that scoring average, he's leading the league by a long shot in three-point attempts. He's attempting 14 three-point attempts per game. The next guy is Kemba Walker, four less. And yet James is only shooting 31.8% from three-point range. Mm-hmm. Those are bad numbers. I want to say he's the best scorer in the league right now, and maybe he is by default, but it's certainly not an efficient way of operating. And if you skew everything where you're giving everything to one guy, and he's either going to score or he's going to get the assist, then his numbers are going to look impressive. But when I look overall at what he's doing, I wish he'd spent less time shooting that wrong-footed three-point runner that we saw the tapes for. Hold on, what are we going to do now? James is shooting off the wrong foot from three-point range. How are we going to stop that? He's not even shooting well squaring up.
I would be right there with you if they weren't winning, Rick. They're winning, and they just beat a very good Clippers team.
A Clippers team that showed up and said, we're not taking you guys seriously. Mm. We can fall behind by 16 in the first quarter, and we can still come back and win this game. You guys aren't in our league. We've already demonstrated we're the best in the league. We're going to try to steal this one, and they nearly did. So I don't put a whole lot of stock. And by the way, last night's win by the Rockets, if you look at their record, that was the first quality win they've had. That's the first quality opponent that
LeVar, before you go, I want to frame it up for you.
Yep, sure.
Perhaps give you, and you can pass on this if it's no good. But what he's arguing is sometimes what you hear argued in football in terms of the weak side linebacker. Everybody's going to tie up their man so that guy can make all the tackles, and the whole system's geared around this one guy making the tackles. Mm-hmm. But the weak side linebacker, I still got to make the tackles.
Got to make the tackles.
I got to make the plays.
That is
so
true.
I don't know if it's a legitimate knock.
I would say it. Only reason why I would agree with you is based on the percentage. That 31% is a tad bit damning, if you ask me. Because
131st
in the league. That tends to say, you know, you're going to win and lose based off of that. And if you're missing that many tackles as the weak side backer, it's probably going to be a really bad game for that defense. So I'm going to lean with AD. I'm going to stay right here in L.A. And I like Anthony Davis. And, you know, there's only three guys that are averaging 26 points and 10 boards, rebounds on the glass. His supporting cast makes it for it to be the best recipe for him to be the most dominant, continue to be the most dominant in this game right now. He's always been looked at as a tweener. We used that word on the show yesterday, but you look at him, you say, all right, he has the ability to go outside, but he also is looked at as a big man, and he gets that responsibility so much. But having JaVale McGee and having Dwight Howard playing the way that he's playing, you have that length and you have that size. You have true bigs. And then, obviously, you have LBJ on the court. I think it's very difficult to look at AD as not the most dominant player, which to me equates to being the best in the game right now.
I can't go there because I think, based off the start of the Lakers season, LeBron's their best player. Mm-hmm. And the conversation about the best player to me probably gets down to LeBron, Giannis, and Kawhi. Hmm. I will say this. If James Harden finishes the year averaging 38 points a game and they've won 50 games, it's going to be hard for me to see because the media does love historical events.
Sure.
It helped Russell Westbrook get his first NBA triple-double. First time we've seen it in 30 years. And so if somebody, and I don't care how they do it, averages the most points since Wilt Chamberlain, that's going to sway some voters.
Well, this is where it gets tangled. And we went through this last year with the MVP race because we had Harden, who's just doing a little more than he did last year, but essentially a offensive threat, but arguably the most potent offensive threat, versus Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is operating at both ends, but isn't the same skilled offensive player that Harden is. But most valuable player to me is different than best player, best all-around player. When I look at what Kawhi Leonard is able to do, he's scared defensively. We need a lockdown.
LeBron's playing defense this year.
And I agree, and I would say if we're taking best player, that's why James Harden's not even necessarily in my top two or three, because I would put LeBron there because he is playing at both ends. I'd still put Giannis in that conversation ahead of James.
Well, you know what's interesting about you guys talking about defense, since we're talking defense and basketball, guy that I just got dismissed on actually leads the league in blocks per game. He's at 2.9 per game. He does it on both ends. AD does it on both ends of the floor. So I don't think we should brush him off and say, okay, LeBron is the best. I think that it's a debate as to who's the best player on that team, which means in a lot of conversations, you got to respect AD in this conversation.
I think talent-wise, AD is in the conversation.